Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome the spiritual
involution.
Yes, we're on the phone today.
Hi, Katie Burke. Where are you?
I'm hidden in my room. I have left the dog with dog treats, and Tess is watching Beauty and the Beast with a bunch of snacks. So I feel like I've covered my bases. have a half an hour of free time. We'll see if it works.
Oh, I want to live at your house. I would love to have an iPad, Beauty and the Beast, snacks and treats, and a puppy dog.
Come on over.
Yeah.
Anytime. You're welcome.
So, I'm sitting at the cell phone waiting area. My niece is flying in from Guadalajara. She's going to stay with us for the weekend. And her flight will land just as we are complete. So it's a beautiful, perfect... I don't even know the word. Everything has come together perfectly this morning.
Oh, fun. I love how you always have family visiting, I feel like. You're really involved like that.
Oh, yes. It's a busy house.
Yes. So you're at the airport then in like a waiting station?
Yeah, I'm actually sitting in what they call the cell phone waiting area.
So are you noticing a lot of masks?
I haven't gone into the airport. This happens to be just outside the airport.
Ah. Well, we were going to discuss why we should not be watching the news. And all I hear on the news, oh my gosh, is this coronavirus. It's insane. Insane.
Can I start?
Membrane.
Can I just say that I was listening to the British Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC, and also Al Jazeera. I like to get... when I do listen to news, which I find valuable at times, I like to get perspectives that are not internal looking outward. I really sometimes like outward looking in. And BBC is calling it an infodemic, that we don't have a pandemic, we have an infodemic, that not just the information we're getting is flooding us, but much of it is wrong.
Yeah, it's really hard to find facts. You can literally find opposing information on what appears to be legit news sites. You know, like you're not going to some wonky site. This is BBC or CNN, you know, something you feel like you could trust. But it's interesting to see the lack of common ground that's found. It's just all over.
Well, I have, like you, I do my best to be conscious when I remember to be. And the news is becoming a particularly interesting topic for conversation for those people who have a spiritual bend and who are hungry for spiritual experience. Because there is a myth that exists in American culture, and the myth is that you must listen to the news in order to be a good citizen. Because even though it's often not good medicine, you have to take your medicine. But the reality, as I'm beginning to understand it, is that the news that we think we're watching is really not news so much as propaganda and pushing agendas and drama, and keeping people interested in watching more news. So, Katie, I'm pretty sure later this summer, I'll have a workshop developed. A lot of it is based on a guy named Mark Manson. He has an article called Why You Should Quit the News. And I find this, oh, by the way, do you mind if I just talk?
Yeah, I was reading that article before you called, because you had sent it to me. I think I got most of the way through it. So I'm aware of what you're talking about. And just a side note, I had just posted a clip from Dr. Drew Penske. I think that's how you say his last name. And he was saying we should stop watching the news on this. And he had mentioned something interesting, was that this idea of clickbait, that the coronavirus, as an example, is something sexy right now. It's a little different. We're not quite sure about it. So even though it's not killing as many people as the common flu here, it's being used in a sensationalized way as you know, a reason to click on things. And we're falling into it, and we have a role in it. And it's this kind of machine, right? That's turning.
Yeah.
And we play a central role in it. And maybe our spirituality does come in play of where do you want to be in this circle? Like, where do you want your place to be in this cycle that we're seeing in our news?
In Italy, they're having empty shelves in their markets. People have a perception now about Italy being a dangerous epicenter. And the reality is that more people have died in car crashes in Northern California this morning than the entire amount of people that have died from coronavirus in Italy since it began. There are now 14 confirmed deaths, as we know, in Italy. But what's happening is there are those who are profiteering from it. For example, since you cannot buy any more hand sanitizer in Italy because it doesn't exist, it's gone because of panic buying, people are selling 1 gallon containers of hand sanitizer on eBay to be delivered to Italy for 300 euros. 300 euros for a gallon of hand sanitizer. So what's causing people to do now is to create homemade versions of hand sanitizers. All of this, by the way, is based on faulty information. So people are now sharing news saying if you drink a solution of diluted bleach, you'll be protected. There are some that are saying that if you eat ice cream in the right speed, you will be immune. And
well, I like that one better than the bleach.
Than the bleach?
Oh,
yeah, right.
Some ice cream? That sounds better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of wild when you kind of look at it from a place that's not in fear, you know, like what has the news become? Because there was a time, well, I wasn't alive, I think, during this time, but I have this perceived notion that there was a time when the news was way more factual. And I don't know, is it social media? Is it our loss of attention span and the advertisements that are now attached to the news sources that are on Facebook or whatnot? Where have we gotten off of that path of just the facts to opinions which are sensationalized that bring you into fear? And where is that? Where is our role in that? Where can we notice when we're sort of falling prey to this and step back?
Well, you know, Katie, basic human nature, as I experience it, I'm not speaking as an anthropologist, but as I experience my own human nature, I tend to trust those that are in my network. So if somebody sends me something, I presume it's true only because I trust them. I don't know where they got whatever it is they're posting, but I also know my own nature. Sometimes I exaggerate. So if I'm writing something or posting something for a friend, sometimes I'll exaggerate or embellish because it's interesting, it's fun, it's funny. It depends on context.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the stuff that I get sent to me on WhatsApp, on Facebook Messenger, some of the things that I see on Instagram, some things I get on Twitter, they might be somebody's well-meaning, exaggerated perspective, and I don't know from where their delivery came. Were they joking? Were they serious? Were they themselves scared? Were they trying to push an agenda? So I'm not going to presume people's malice, but I will presume that we tend to trust those around us and we will share what people give us, presuming it's true. Most people don't take the time to check and see if something is factual. And in today's world, it's a little difficult to find out what's factual because we'll find out all kinds of false information in exploring for the real stuff. Anyway, right. That's a lot of verbiage. But
when you notice, I think part of it is noticing the machine, you know, because when you say propaganda, I just finished this book about Adolf Hitler, and one of his main men, Joseph Goebbels, I think is how you say his last name. He was the main Goebbels, is that how it?
Yeah.
He's like the main man behind the propaganda. And I was looking at a bunch of propaganda quotes that he wrote, and it's like we're living in it through social media. And it got me thinking about how the printing press he used beautifully, but in a mastermind way to create a culture in which you thought the truth was the truth and you had no idea that strings were attached. And when I see people reposting memes on Facebook or Instagram, I had this like light go off. Like, we are the new printing press. We are being used as a tool in a way to like create a culture that we're not, are we understanding that role that we're playing every time we repost something without a lot of facts attached to it, that just, you know, there's so much in a meme that is purely attached to emotion because there's not enough room to, you know, attach an article and really understand the depth of the topic. And it got me thinking about it. And one of his quotes was, "The secret to propaganda is those who are to be persuaded by it should be completely immersed in the ideas of the propaganda without ever noticing that they are being immersed in it." Which makes, you know, you kind of, when you start to read his quotes, you're like, wow, is that kind of news? Is that what news is starting to be?
Well, remember I was mentioning when we first started today that later in the summer, I'll probably do like a Preacher Guy Unplugged workshop based on Mark Manson's article. Mark Manson's won't be the only information that I'll draw from. I'll draw from the information in the crowd that's alive in that workshop. But I love beginning the question, first off, why are you watching the news? Are you watching it because you think it's going to impact how you move through the world or the decisions or actions you'll take today? Or are you watching the news because it gives you something to talk about with other people? But let's say you're watching the news, like you watch the weather to know whether to take an umbrella or wear short pants, to wear snow boots or to wear flip-flops. When was the last time, Katie, seriously, when was the last time you actually watched the news and made a major life decision based on a news story?
Yeah,
I can't remember the last time I actually made a major life decision based on something I saw in the news.
So I mean, after reading that article, however, I have a question.
Good. Bring it on.
The question I have is, I totally agree that the news uses things that really don't affect how I move forward in the world more than maybe adding stress and anxiety and fear. You know, like, why do I need to know the shooter's parents? And why do I need to know about the fire that happened in Berkeley? I mean, it's just sad. It's sad to know all this information and I feel helpless. I can't personally do anything. Maybe I could set up a emergency pack in my garage and, you know, be more prepared. I don't know. But the one thing that does come into mind when I think about the news that I do somewhat appreciate, especially living in the Bay Area, I often feel like I'm in a bubble and I forget like how people are living in, let's say, even middle America or in other countries. And sometimes I wonder if my view then becomes too myopic and maybe even naive, thinking like, oh, everyone's eating organic food and everyone has access to this water. And the reality is, no, we are in probably the best area for that kind of culture, as far as the healthy lifestyle food. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, is there a place for news in opening up your eyes to the fact that the world is different and that you might just be living an abnormal sliver of the world? That, so don't be ignorant to what's happening in the majority of people's lives.
Where I find you delightfully distinct, Katie, is that your eyes move very fast. You have an artistic eye and you move very fast while you're flipping through feeds and poster boards and headlines. And what's delightfully impressive about you is you don't stop there. You drill down really deep and you read long articles, you read books, you find factual information from, let's say, actual journalists, and that makes your perspective valid for conversation in my perspective, meaning the news is very valuable if you are drilling down to get down to what is the news. And really to get there often takes time. You have to slow down and read contextual information, not just headlines and not just memes and not just columns, but like real articles, real stories, real books, that takes time. And most of us neither have the time nor will make the time. So I'm guessing the average listener, not necessarily here on the spiritual involution, but I think the average listener has learned not to make that kind of time because we're very fast with swiping right. And those are the people to whom I'm addressing today, is the people who are swiping right typically will have a fear perspective because it's based on headlines about which the person who's swiping right has very little full information.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a lot of talking, and I don't know if I said anything.
No, I totally agree with, I agree with everything you said. And I've noticed that too. And I don't think I was always this person, but it took actually, to be honest, the vaccine issue for me to open up my eyes in other areas that I can't, as part of somebody who is doing due diligence in the news store, in the news and in life, like, I have realized there's two sides to every story. I always try to find out both sides. And I've, you know, woken up to this idea that you have to take the time and look deeper. And if there's a person that they're referencing in the article, take the step to highlight that person's name and then look up that person's references. Look where they're coming from. Like, it's kind of a detective work you have to do. But like you said, it's long, like it's not quick. And sometimes with how fast everything is now, it's hard to take the time to look at it because then it's not even relevant by the time you figure it out.
Okay, so yes, and why I'm loving that we've taken the time to do this and why I want to really explore in a larger in-person group this conversation, because the stuff that we're reading that we think is news is presented emotionally charged, and we are urged to feel that it's important. And what's happening is it's catastrophized and it's emotionally charged and it's overblown. And
it's repetitively said over and over and over.
It's obsessive over pointless details. And then it becomes a point where I have the experience that they want to entertain rather than inform. And there's a byproduct to this, Katie. It creates trauma for us, the listener. And we don't even know it, but someone is setting an agenda for it. And people who watch more of this kind of news tend to overestimate the amount of crime and violence and disease in the world. And that creates trouble. So let me go back to what's the spiritual solution for me. I would actually use Katie Burke as inspiration. If you want to know more about the coronavirus, then slow down and actually learn more about it. What really are the facts? How do those facts measure up to other diseases that are happening currently in your world? What are the real ways of catching it or transmitting it? Is it completely or always deadly, or is it equal to, let's say, a flu? Get some information, because, Katie, the person who's reading or listening is a presence of what I'll call source energy. Your body is generating results from your thinking. And I suspect that there's a lot of people who right now have anxiety and fear and worry, and it's showing up in their bodies. And this is where a spiritual perspective can bring a solution. Slow down, take off your shoes and go for a walk in nature. Put your feet on grass or in the dirt. Go pick some flowers. Yesterday, I went walking in the Willow Glen neighborhood of San Jose, and there was something that happened to me viscerally as I was plucking leaves off of several different types of lavender and some rosemary and lemon blossoms and orange blossoms, and the smell of the flowers and the freshly mown grass. Something in my body began to be peaceful. I won't get that just from reading headlines.
No, you most definitely will not. Yeah.
So what is?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, and I, you know, still sticking with the coronavirus, although there's just, you can find examples everywhere. It's just really alive right now. But, you know, is there even a point to getting to a level of panic? Because even if it's worth slightly getting concerned about, like, what if this virus really does turn out to be a wicked virus? Still, I think panic is not serving us. You know, we make irrational decisions. We make, you know, when people are in a panic mode, they're not thinking right. So even if something is worth worrying about or taking seriously, you know, I don't want to underestimate this either, but what role does panic ever serve? You really have to free yourself from the emotion and look at what you can do. You know, that might be, maybe it is quarantine for a little bit. Maybe it is, supporting your immune system so that you can handle a virus better. Maybe it is, you know, being really diligent about washing your hands. I don't know. It's just the tangible things can be separated. The tangible things of action can be separated from this emotional turmoil that we're now, like you said, everybody is, I know people who are physically stressed about this, and it just doesn't serve anybody at all, in my opinion. And I don't know if it would ever serve anybody's opinion. I don't know if it would be serving anything, I guess is what I'm saying, at any point.
So where would you, and this is a real question, where would you suggest people get information so that they can choose how they will be in the world today, choose the actions they will take, choose the plans they will make or the plans they will change? From where would they get the information that would be reliable, valuable, and credible?
Like in general or on the coronavirus?
Let's say on the coronavirus, because that's what's alive this minute.
I find it difficult. The facts are hard to find. So right now it seems
I want to interrupt the podcast and just provide accurate numbers because they were a little off before. So globally, the reported cases are about 80,000. Again, that's reported cases, so we don't really know how many actual cases there are, and about 3,000 deaths. In the US, it's about 69 cases reported, and I believe no deaths yet. So that's the numbers. Back to the podcast.
Like a cold, and it's just not reported. And it does seem to be affecting people who are immunocompromised or the elderly, which is common for all viruses. You know, you can get a cold, and if your immune system is not up to the fight, then you're going to fall. And so it seems to me, from what I can tell, it's acting very similar to the flu, the regular flu. It's just, in fact, the flu has still killed more people this year than the coronavirus. I think the worry, though, is that we don't know how much it's going to grow, what we're actually dealing with. But I don't think there needs to be, with the numbers that are, if you're just going through with the numbers, right, there's really no reason yet to panic. But there's also reason to probably wash your hands more and take an extra dose of vitamin D and bump up your immune system. You know what I mean? Like, is there a place between being prepared and being paranoid? That's the place we got to find. But it's very hard to find facts. I'm struggling because you can't find the real numbers very easily. And that's what I'm trying to find, are the numbers, because numbers don't really have emotions attached to it, right?
Hmm. So what are you doing as a mother with two kids and as a wife with a husband? What are you doing?
Well, I'm keeping with what I always do, which is we eat very healthy whole foods. I give the kids extra vitamin D almost every day. I add, like, you know, vitamin C in the mix if I think we're about to go travel or anything, because that's going to bump up your immune system. Keep active and wash your hands. You know, that's pretty much, in my opinion, there's so much out there. We are focusing on one thing, but the world is full of viruses, full of bacteria. And it's, in my viewpoint, it's worth looking at how to really make yourself healthy enough to withstand, even if a pandemic did occur. Like, how are we going to be the ones that are going to be the ones that have a mild case, hopefully, you know? Not always depending on medicine or there's got to be something beneath that, because we can't find a medicine for every single virus or illness out there.
Since I would guess the majority of our listeners would be would have a spiritual bend or a spiritual curiosity, if not already a deep spiritual practice, I'd like to share that one of my ministerial friends, she put out a prayer request to the ministers in our denomination, and since then many of us have shared it on our social media feeds. Do you mind if I read it?
Yeah.
She wrote, "In the Bible, Esther was told to save the Jews with these words, 'Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?' Well, we have coronavirus threatening the world's health right now, and maybe we're the ones called to know the truth of its nature, which is that it has come to pass and not to stay." Our founder said we should be the prayingest people on the planet because we know prayer's power. So let's do this. So Esther fasted and prayed and brought forth a mighty result. I, for one, am fasting from the idea that anything is outside of the law of cause and effect, including coronavirus. And so I'll do my part to put on a new cause in effect. Who's in? Mm. So what she's asking us to do is to get prayerful, get out of being scaredful, and get prayerful. I'm thinking about the economies that right now are experiencing great damage because people are panicked and they're overbuying some things, and they are acting in a way I think that is really not true to their nature. Fear makes us do things that sometimes is uncivilized.
Right.
So I'm doing my best to remain civilized to my spirit, to my being, and to the people who matter to me, and the people who need to remain sane.
Right. What does it mean to be prayerful in this situation? Like what creative force, if it's cause and effect, what prayer of creation are we setting into motion, or should we try to set into motion for an effect? What effect? For
thank you for asking that, Katie. For me, it's not always a formalized prayer. Being prayerful is being mindful. For me, being prayerful is slowing down and paying attention to nature, to information that has hopefulness or usefulness in it, that has guidance that says, okay, wash your hands more, get good sleep, drink lots of water, eat well. For me, being prayerful is turning down the volume of anxiety and fear and panic. Being prayerful is slowing down long enough to get a reality check. So, and sometimes being prayerful is saying prayers. And you can find all kinds of prayers on the internet. I don't have to share those now.
Right. I like that advice. Yeah. The dog's going crazy.
It's perfect. Yes. The dog's barking because my niece has just texted. She's coming through immigration right now.
Well, I hope all is well with her flight. And I think this is a good talk. And I hope maybe people listening found some peace in it. And maybe, yeah, it always comes back to slowing down. I think you should get that tattooed on your body.
It does. Well, you know, because I need it more than anybody.
Well, I think we all need it. Especially right now with all the stuff that we can easily find on our phones so quickly nowadays. Slowing down is good advice for everything.
Slow down and have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thank you, Katie, and thank Tess for loaning her mother to me.
I will. I'm sure she doesn't mind.
All right.
Bye.
No, I wish I had some of those snacks and enjoy Beauty and the Beast.
Yes. Bye.
Bye, Katie. Bye, everyone.
Bye.